It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
College football playoff rankings came out yesterday, the first ones. And as you'd expect, some fan bases are upset. BYU upset. Indiana maybe upset. And a few others, Perloff. But we're asking you this morning, now that you've seen a little of what this bracket's going to look like, is this really the best way to get a champion, or just picking the 4 teams like we've had over the last few years? Is that truly the best way?
Give me one way that picking 4 is better than 12.
Because you're going to have the similar types of biases and other things that are going to come into 12, just like you would add with 4. But at least 4, there's not some BS seeding thing where you have to have the top 4 from each Power 4 conference. I think it really was trying to find the best 4 teams. This is getting lost in the shuffle of who gets seeded where and who's going to get a bye and who's going to have a home game on their campus, and so many other things that kind of muck this up. The games will be fine, sure, but are we going to actually get closer to a true champion? That's what I ask you.
But we can't get farther from a true champion because now you have 12 teams to compete for the one spot, so you're going to have you're going to get to see more football and get a better indicator.
Yeah, but again, there's going to be those 2-loss SEC teams. Are they going to get favored over a 1-loss ACC team that may be actually a better team? How are they going to decide this? Strength of schedule?
But how does it make it? Well, why would that be worse than 4 teams? So, yeah, maybe you'll have flaws, but still, it's way better than 4. Look at last year, the 4 team drove everyone nuts because there were 5 worthy teams.
Okay, but that's, first of all, what happened last year with Florida State, I don't think they've actually corrected for that this year. Because what happened to Florida State is they lost their quarterback, and everyone believed, okay, that you lost your quarterback, you're not going to be competitive. And they got docked for that. Why wouldn't the same thing exist here just with 12 teams?
Well,
say Curtis Rourke from Indiana, who already got hurt once. Say that they lose by 7 to Ohio State, but he blows out his knee. I'm going to knock on wood here. I'm just using that as for instance. Say he blows out his knee, but they're still a 1-loss team. They would not go to the Big Ten title game because that'd be Oregon and Ohio State. Aren't they going to do the same thing to Indiana that they would have done to Florida State?
Right, but I mean, by definition, like, it's going to be, you're going to have way more room to mess around in 12 teams. Like, maybe Indiana on the fringe of 11, 12, but you cannot possibly have that kind of the level of sports crime that you had last year with Florida State. Like, this is not going to happen. Like, listen, Indiana, if Indiana loses Ohio State and they get left out of the playoff, that is not like Florida State going undefeated. Those are not same. Indiana has the 103rd easy strength of schedule. Like, they have one of the easiest schedules ever. So, no, I do not expect a massive uprising of Indiana Hoosiers football fans like there was with Florida State last year.
You can go vote at Maggie and Pearl on X. Now that you've seen the new 12-team college football playoff reveal, do you like this format or prefer the 4-team model? I'm getting smoked here. 88% say you like the 12-team. 12% say you want to go back to the 4. Manny is a write-in candidate. Let's go back to the BCS.
Or option C.
Is currently not polling at this moment, but
we demand a recount.
It's a Wednesday. It's time for the great debate.
The Great Debate Series.
Okay, well, you guys know we don't get political on the show. Why would we? You guys don't care what we think about that. But we realize that obviously, there was a presidential election last night and Donald Trump won. So to bring that to sports, we're asking you, who is the greatest executive in the history of professional and or college sports? I don't know how college would really apply. The greatest AD.
You know who can make a buck was that Delaney guy at the Big Ten. No, in all seriousness, like, he can make money out of nothing.
So,
by exploiting his labor force for 20 years. He was good at that.
The executive branch, that's what we were voting on yesterday in this country, in this great nation of ours. So We are asking you, who is the greatest sports executive
Jim
of all
Delaney,
time?
Right? By the way.
Jim? Did I say Tom?
Yeah.
Sorry.
There is a Tom Delaney. But anyway, yeah, greatest sports executive. So let me ask you a question. Like, we're not doing like Pete Rozelle. Like, this is who's built a champion. That's how I was thinking of it. I guess you could do whatever you want.
I'm thinking
but that's
more
how
team
I...
specific as okay. opposed to like a commissioner.
Right.
Or what have you. Although that would fall in line here.
Okay.
But I think we all went team specific people.
Okay. Can I go first?
Of course.
Went weird. I got a little funky. I'm going to be honest. Because you think of like the great who built multiple time champions. My executive never won a championship. I actually never really became that close. But he changed sports forever. And that would be Billy Beane, played by Brad Pitt. No, Billy Beane, I'm going to put him on there because name an executive who's changed the entire landscape. We watch a football game on Sundays. And they put up a stupid graphic with analytics says you should go for it on 4th and 1, 67%. Who more than anyone brought analytics to sports, brought a different way of thinking about sports? Billy Beane, who actually kind of stole it from
Bill James.
From Bill James. But Billy Beane actually actualized it. And then the Red Sox took it and won the World Series with it. The reason I said on Billy Beane, there's an award for Executive of the Year in baseball. Only four guys have won it three times. Branch Rickey, who would be a great argument because yep. he brought in Jackie Robinson. The guy who built the great Yankees team, George Weiss, won it four times. And then Billy Beane. So he's right up there amongst the great executives of all time in baseball. And he is like the game changer. So I didn't want to go back 100 years. To me, like, he is the executive of our time.
We're asking great debate today. Who's the greatest sports executive of all time? I went with somebody who stops a room when you walk in. A lot of people probably couldn't pick Billy Beane out of a lineup. They know Brad Pitt. Maybe played him in a movie. But they don't know what he looks like. My executive is somebody who not only can win in multiple different ways or have a winning team in multiple different ways, but somebody whose personal stature added to their myth and lore. And that's Pat Riley, still going strong in Miami. Now, Pat Riley as a coach was a phenomenal leader, obviously, the Showtime Lakers, Knicks, and then the Heat, where he won a championship as a coach with the Miami Heat in 2006. But I think what's the beauty of Pat Riley is his power is full and unconditional. He was able to lure LeBron James and Chris Bosh to play with Dwayne Wade. And you might say, Maggie, that's cheating. How many suitors did LeBron have? And what actually swayed him was Pat Riley putting the rings on the table. It was Pat Riley's personal stamp that got those guys to Miami. Four straight finals, two titles. And then also, he took a team that had no business being in the finals to the bubble finals. That was in 2020, where they end up losing to the Lakers. And then an eighth seed of Jimmy Butler going toe-to-toe with the Denver Nuggets when nobody was expecting anything. So now the Heat are like this boogeyman where you're never sure when they can just turn it on because Pat Riley was able to build these teams without bottoming out. We've got a highlight for you. Here's a little of Pat Riley's magic.
As the shot clock is turned off, the Miami Heat are once again NBA champions. LeBron James captures that elusive title he so desperately coveted.
Yeah, LeBron, does he even have the Cleveland win without the Miami laying the bedrock? I don't know.
Pat Riley gets credit for the Cleveland win?
No, he gets credit for the LeBron win.
I thought you said the bubble title didn't count. You're on the record for that.
Pat Riley is the greatest executive in the history of sports. EJ, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to go with a guy whose dominance as a sports executive goes through decades, right? So you're talking about two dynasties with one franchise. You're talking about the 80s Los Angeles Lakers and the 2000s Los Angeles Lakers. The late Jerry West, who recently passed away, is my pick for greatest sports executive. You want to talk about a guy who hired Pat Riley, or at least, you know, was around when Pat Riley was building that Laker dynasty. You want to talk about bringing in Phil Jackson. You want to talk about bringing in Shaquille O'Neal. You want to talk about drafting Kobe Bryant. Jerry West, in terms of basketball, I think is kind of unquestioned the best basketball executive. And the Laker three-peat in the early 2000s, I think, really cemented that.
Los Angeles Lakers have made it three straight NBA championships. They wrap it up in the four-game sweep by beating the Nets 113.
And I think the reason why I also like picking Jerry West is because you talk about managing egos, right? Like, I know Pat Riley, to some degree, did it in Miami, but quite frankly, he kind of gave up, right? When LeBron left, he started trying to make them kind of back into his image. Jerry West was about grabbing stars and finding a way to get them to coexist, which I think is important for any top executive. So Jerry West, for me, somehow a great player, may end up even being a greater executive. So he's my pick.
You didn't even mention the Warriors
and Memphis.
Warriors.
You don't think? Oh, I give him some credit for the Steph phenomenon.
Sure, I'll take it. I mean, I give Bob Myers more of that. But yes, he was a Warriors consultant as well.
Bob Myers didn't even draft Steph Curry.
No, but I think he was the general manager for most of that, and he was making those moves.
Okay, it's a good pick. Jerry West is a legend. We're asking, who is the greatest sports executive of all time? Manny, go ahead.
I went with the guy who back in 1973 bought his team for $10 million, and now it's worth more than $1 billion, $2 billion. I don't know. I didn't do great research on this, but let me tell you something. The work that George Steinbrenner did as owner of the New York Yankees certainly has my pick as for him being, you know, one of the best executives. A 7-time World Series champion in his lifetime as well, passed away in 2010. I mean, you take a look at the things that he was able to do as executive of the Yankees. Shout out to the boss. I got George Steinbrenner.
Amazing.
He could also be the worst executive of all time.
I think you vote
for both and be right.
Hey, you know what? You can be a polarizing figure and be president nowadays. So. Yeah.
I just think that the one thing that hurts Steinbrenner, we'll get into all of these, is when he was suspended from baseball, those were the decisions made at that time that really set the foundation for the dynasty. But listen, he did things his way. Manny, I like it.
If George was still alive.
Bogish, take us home.
So my guy did something that we thought was impossible. And in fact, he did it twice. Here's the first time.
Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions.
Theo Epstein made the Red Sox win the World Series again, finally. Leave from a treadmill, finally, finally, finally. And then did the same thing again with the Chicago Cubs. How many people tried and failed to end those two curses, and the same dude ended up ending both? You can have your Executive of the Year awards, whatever. Top that.
It's a good one. Theo Epstein.
I'm looking right at you.
You're looking right at me.
I'm in a fighting mood for Maggie before.
Top it, Billy B. Yeah.
You can't hear on the radio, but Bogus just did a full dramatic turn to camera to my face. I'm like, I don't know. I didn't do anything.
You were yelling at you, criticizing my pick last segment off the air. Then you went with Brad Pitt.
Well, I mean, who was Theo's inspiration? My pick. Was there Theo Epstein if there was no Billy Bean played by Brad Pitt? I don't think so.
Would Ben Affleck play Theo in a movie?
Just wait.
Yeah.
I think you need some de-aging. Because Theo, by the way, always looks like he's 23 years old. It's the amazing thing about Theo Epstein.
Oh, man, maybe. All right, there you go. The greatest sports executive of all time. Obviously, executive branch of government in the news, so we kind of took it from that with the presidential election last night. Greatest sports executive.
You know what's funny? Almost everyone we picked has been played in movies by different people. Like, recently, Adrian Brody played your guy, Pat Riley. Brad Pitt played who played Steinbrenner? Steinbrenner's been played. Jerry West. Jerry West had this excellent actor in the Lakers Showtime story, but I don't know who could play Theo. That's a great thing because they should do a Cubs movie. That'd be awesome.
Or the Red Sox.
Andrew Perloff.
Have a Red Sox doc on Netflix now. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Damon and Affleck are just going to fight over it, right?
They're too old.
Theo should have his own movie.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Like, forget about whether you do Red Sox or Cubs. They should just follow his baseball career.
I got it. Zac Efron as Theo Epstein. You need somebody.
I see it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I can't believe it.
I don't see it.
We had another one. Obviously, our very own Andrew Kaplan putting Theo Epstein or Red Auerbach. Now, the thing about Red Auerbach, though, is like.
No, they cheated.
Well,
cold showers.
Cold showers, little bumps on the floor.
Well, I was just going to say. There weren't as many teams in the league at that time. Getting the talent pool and getting everybody to Boston was not the way it is today.
Yeah, but he had to beat teams with 5 Hall of Famers, like, regularly, all the time.
No free agency back then. None of the things that GMs and executives have to deal with today.
He did have I don't know if it's, I mean, I guess you would say courage, whatever you want to call it, to like make stars like Bill Russell and Casey Jones and Sam Jones as black players in a very dangerous time. Like that was a thing that he did for sure.
No doubt.
Well, I mean, Branch Rickey obviously deserves some serious. And also, he was a great executive. He had a lot of good teams.
Broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball with Jackie Robinson. Ray is in the chat. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Ozzie Newsome. I thought about Ozzie, too. Ozzie, one of the most respected players and then also GM for the Ravens and so many exciting teams.
You know who I thought? Bill Walsh, because he changed the way teams draft. Like, he basically changed the entire NFL in 1981. Or Paul Brown, who was obviously Bill Walsh's mentor. Those two guys. Like,
but what
game
about
changer.
Belichick?
So Belichick is so much better as a coach than he is an executive that you can't put him in the executive conversation.
I disagree. I think you're just thinking about the last little bit of Bill Belichick where it went off the rails. But Belichick's had full and total control for a long time.
His greatest draft pick of all time, he passed on Tom Brady 6 times before he took him. He lucked. Like, he wasn't like the greatest drafter, even during the. So, like,
yeah,
I
but
think
those teams weren't built on free agency. The year they got the greatest free agent, or it wasn't a free agent, it was a trade. And Randy Moss is the year they didn't win.
No,
one of them.
I feel like he coached him up. I don't think he was the greatest GM. And I think, like, you look, he couldn't draft wide receivers. Like, he was such a good coach of the whole system. He was a great executive.
I'd say Wes Welker and Julian Edelman, these guys were not.
They weren't even drafted. I mean, Wes Welker he traded for, by the way.
But he acquired them.
Yeah, I know. But, like, he was just such a better coach. Like, let me ask you this question. Was he a better coach or executive?
He's definitely a better coach, but he did have full control over a team that won 6 titles.
Yeah, he's good at everything, but he just, like, he'd have to be a better drafter to win this award, in my opinion.
855-212-4227. So there you have it. The greatest sports executives of all time, giving a little nod to the election last night, which you haven't heard. The election has been called. Donald Trump is the president yet again. So going around the room, Perloff and Billy Bean. I went with Pat Riley. Manny went with George Steinbrenner. EJ went with
Jerry West.
Jerry West, thank you. And Bogish went with
Theo Epstein.
Theo Epstein. I have the memory of a goldfish today. Yeah. I was up a little late.
Who said Branch Rickey? That's probably the probably the first out. In terms of a CFP mention, like
Red Auerbach too.
Yeah, but I mean, Branch Rickey on top of Jackie Robinson, like he basically designed the minor league system that baseball still uses today.
But if you want to go the NFL, I mean, Paul Brown invented every single thing that you see on a football field came straight out of Paul Brown's. You know, helmet-to-helmet communication, game plans, looking at tape, all Paul Brown. So we weren't doing.
He thought to prepare for a game.
No. He's the first guy who charted his play. Like everything you see in modern football came right out. Ask Bill Belichick. It's all Paul Brown.
Let's go to our pal Adrian, who's in Maryland. Adrian, the greatest sports executive of all time is who?
Hey, guys. I got two. I got Jerry Krause's Chicago Bulls, 2 3-peat. And if Jordan doesn't go to baseball, he has probably 8 championships in a row, which is crazy. And then the second one I got Jimmy Johnson.
Yep.
He's the Miami Hurricanes. He's basically the main recruiter. So many players in the NFL go to the NFL, fleeces Minnesota Vikings, and gives them Herschel Walker. Takes Dallas from 1-15 to the Super Bowl twice, and probably would have been a 3-peat if Jerry Jones doesn't get in the way.
Adrian, it's a great one. Two great ones.
No. Adrian, we love you, but Jerry Krause, he's the one who ripped apart the Bulls.
I was going to say, does he get more credit for building them up, or does he get more credit or takes credit away because Michael Jordan clearly hated Jerry Krause?
Well, I think they could have gotten one more year out of that.
Hey, but they got along. That's all. They got along on the business level and winning the championship. It doesn't have to. They don't got to be friends. As long as they win championships, right?
Well, but Jordan's so bitter about that. Adrian, two great ideas, though, and 2 great ones. Thank you. And, you know, it's funny. The one thing about Jimmy, and he obviously pulled off the all-time trade, the Herschel Walker trade is shorthand. Every sports fan knows it. But he did also have the luxury of the number one overall pick where they were able to get Troy Aikman. With why I think Pat Riley deserves to be in here is he never really was bottoming out before he was, you know, it wasn't because he was getting the number one overall pick.
Yeah, okay. That wasn't a referendum on Pat.
You take Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero and take them to a final.
The one thing, by the way, the Jerry Krause thing, I think if you're going to nominate Jerry Krause, you might as well nominate the guy on the Blazers who drafted Sam Bowie instead of Jordan. Because, like, let's face it, Jerry Krause got a little lucky. Then, by the way, after Jordan left, he drafted Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler in the next draft. Like, that's the brilliant executive here.
Both former Knicks.
You do have to get a little lucky. All right, keep them coming, guys. Greatest executives of all time. All right, Perloff, last night maybe we were a little distracted by some other things going on, but not tonight. Prize Picks back on the front burner because it's the best place to get real money sports action while you watch football, the NBA, college football. Here's what you do. You download the Prize Picks app. It's super simple. Then you pick two or more players across any sport, and all you do is pick more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 100 times your money.
Don't forget, Maggie, it is Maction season, so we got football on a Wednesday.
Yes.
I'm going Kenneth Womack, under 60.5 yards. Bit of a projection there. Prize Picks, of course, if I'm wrong, even invented flex play, so you can still cash out even if one of your picks doesn't hit. It's very simple. Just download the Prize Picks app and use the code MNP and get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. It's Great Debate Wednesday. Greatest sports executive of all time. I already have buyer's remorse with my pick, but...
Shocker. Perloff wants off his own bandwagon.
Well, Billy Beane was a game changer. You guys will give me that. Like, he was unique in the sense that you guys won a lot of championships. My guy won none, but he came up with a new system. You guys had budgets galore. The Oakland A's, as you know, are not fond of spending a lot of money, and he still built one of the great winners of the last 25 years.
No, I know. We all thought your selection was good. You don't like your selection. You don't have to sell it to us.
It's important to me on Great Debate Wednesday, which I love, to win the poll. And I just don't think I'm going to get this one because you guys have all those darn rings.
So you really wanted to put Branch Rickey, which, listen.
That wouldn't win either, but yeah.
Okay.
Right. The old guy's never.
Cold-hearted politics right now.
Maggie, the old guy never wins the poll. The guy from the 40s and 50s never wins the poll.
Yeah, this one was pretty big, though.
No, I don't think Branch Rickey.
No?
Yeah, no, I understand. If Branch Rickey, though, I'm not sure the awareness is there. Everyone knows Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
I don't think everyone knows Branch Rickey's role in this.
We're asking you, who is the greatest sports executive of all time? Obviously, we're taking a page off of the election last night, the executive branch sort of being in the news. You know how we do. Mike's in California. Mike, who do you think?
Okay, so... I don't know if he classifies as a traditional, executive, but the insight that it took for this man to take a bunch of underground fight videos and turn it into what we now know as the UFC as a fight promoter is Dana White.
Yeah.
Because that became the overall, it's bigger than most sports are now, and he started off just promoting them and took it from what it was back in the 80s to what it is now.
Totally. I've got my issues with Dana White, a lot of them, but you can't argue with the results, right? The results, if that's what we're basing
totally
it off
agree.
Of, 100%.
And it's funny because you asked this question after you were talking about your fans fighting fans thing earlier, Maggie, and there was a funny story. I think it was Kent Shamrock or Tito Ortiz where they went to a Dodger game and a fan started heckling and trying to get into a fight with it, not knowing who it was because he was rooting for the other team. And part of the entourage went over and told the guy who this person was. The guy sitting down, beers and hot dogs. The story goes, they sent him beers, hot dogs, and nachos. And then whoever the fighter was turned around to thank him. The guy had left the stadium.
Smart man. So, fan.
Be careful you pick a fight with the fans.
Man, do you remember the great story? I know John Jones is going to be fighting Stipe Miocic coming up this weekend. But there was a great story about John Jones was meditating in a park right before one of his fights. And someone came up and tried to take this woman's purse, and John Jones ran him down and kicked his butt.
You wouldn't surprise me.
It's like you never know who's around. Mike, thanks so much for the call. Thanks so much for checking in, too. I know it's early in California. Mike's awesome. He's one of our callers from the afternoon show.
Right,
he's followed us over.
I feel like we're not paying enough attention to the upcoming ridiculously stupid fight. But I'm starting to see some ads for it again.
Me too.
So Mike Tyson's back and he's fighting Jake Paul and that's really happening?
November 15th. Bogish and I were just talking about this off the air, I think, right, Bogish?
Okay.
Or EJ and I were, about how all of a sudden you just go onto Netflix and here it is. Like, oh my gosh, this is happening. And
right. Well, I still think all in the back of our head think that Mike Tyson will be injured or something and not ready to go because he doesn't physically, it seems like he's having major problems.
I'm still wondering if he makes it to the fight. And if he does, there's also a distinct possibility that Mike Tyson makes it to this Jake Paul fight and it's a farce. Like, I'm not saying it's fixed, although I wouldn't bet on this one, guys. But I'm just saying, does he get there and it's unserious? He hasn't taken it seriously. He doesn't have the stamina, the conditioning, or anything like that.
Yeah. I remember that when George Foreman came in his late 40s and early 50s and just stood there and was just so strong that he could still figure out a way to do it. Maybe Tyson could just do that, just stand there, take the punches and...
I don't think Tyson has been as good to his body as George Foreman was.
I remember George Foreman came out and he was obviously quite overweight.
No, I know, but there's a lot of other... I mean, Tyson literally owns a weed farm.
Well, I think that's probably the best thing that's happened to his body. It's his joints. He has trouble walking. That's...
Yeah, I think there was some alcohol. So I don't think he's been taking care of himself.
When they announced this fight, I was the one calling BS on all of these things.
Yeah.
I didn't even say it was sports. I wouldn't put it in my update. And you guys were like, it's great, can't wait. Now you all have the same objections that I did?
Wait. I admit I do flip-flop sometimes. I don't remember ever saying that the Tyson-Jake Paul was going to be this great sporting event.
You were all geeked up, and no one accepted my dismissal of this thing.
You know what I think happened? And I'm glad you kept receipts on this, Bogish. I think what happened is they postponed it. Tyson isn't looking that great. And I think our excitement, really, the air went out of the balloon on this one.
I think Bogish is conflating things. I think there was a side that kept saying that Mike Tyson would definitely knock out Jake Paul, that me and Mr. Peabody were on that side. And I think Perloff was kind of teetering that fence as well. Then it was Maggie that was trying to say that this is interesting and be
and it's never.
Talk about
I thought it said it, we're never, oh, it's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen. And then you were on the, it's not sports. I don't know if anyone necessarily disagreed. I think you were just, you were a third party, like kind of like. On a different plane.
No, I remember saying that I was more excited, and this was, three or four debates into the sequence, that I was more excited for Kobayashi and Chestnut than Tyson, and because it was just, this was always nonsense to me.
Well, I do think there is a lot of people who want to see Mike Tyson just pound Jake Paul into smithereens. I mean, that is, there's a lot of people, Jake Paul is quite polarized, and everyone loves
so is Tyson.
But there's still a lot of like sports love for Mike Tyson. No, I mean, it's one of the young Mike Tyson. Like, just watch the clips; it's an incredible athletic feat. He was in a world of heavyweights. He was just different. So, but no, I think if we put up a poll, who would you rather? Who do you have more of an issue with right now? Jake Paul. Jake Paul is just he's the kind of like the nation's bad guy wrestler. Like
Definitely. Yeah. The YouTuber, he was a joke and the showman only. Mike Tyson was actually the heavyweight champion of the world and he had the bona fides to back it up. Who do you want to see get knocked out? It'd be kind of sad probably to see Tyson get knocked out. I'm just going back to when Floyd Mayweather fought Logan Paul, right?
Yep, that happened.
Yeah, and that was silly.
Yeah, I mean, Floyd Mayweather fights are never entertaining, though.
No, but he was like holding him up at one point where you felt like, all right, they just had to get it to a certain spot. You know, catch what I'm saying?
Oh no, I got you. Yeah, it was phony baloney, as they say.
Yeah, but this is a lot different. Tyson is Tyson's just much more.
Well, it's a knockout
captivating.
That's true.
Guy. I can't believe so. It's free on Netflix, Bogus. You were mentioned, or do we have to pay for this?
I think it's just free. I think if you have Netflix, you have it.
Yeah, free on Netflix doesn't make sense.
Right.
You pay for the Netflix.
But there's not a premium on top of that.
No, I don't think so.
But also, are we watching?
No.
I probably will.
I will if it's free.
I'm not someone who watches.
Well, I have Netflix. If it's free for me, if it's not a dish, you can have DirecTV. You could pay for DirecTV, and then you have to pay another $70 for.
Oh, without a doubt. No, we just had Mike in California said he thought Dana White was the greatest sports executive of all time. That's our great debate today. If you have ESPN Plus, you're still paying for the UFC pay per views.
This is not my point. It's not paper. Yeah, so I have Netflix, so it's easy for me to click on this.
I think this is going to do huge numbers because of that.
Because of that.
I think of all the, now everyone has a lot of streaming services, but I think almost everyone has Netflix. If there's one to say, all right, what's the one that everyone has? I think it's Netflix because it's just grandfathered in.
Yep.
So once you have it, it's just like you're on a boring weekend night. You're like, oh, why the hell not?
Yep. If you ask me like, hey, you want to watch this Mike Tyson, Jake Paul thing, but I'm going to need you to actually enter your credit card number and then the expiration date and then the security code on the back. Like, I wouldn't get all the way there.
Right.
At some point, my better judgment would be like, don't do this.
Yeah, nobody's pay-per-viewing. Yeah, that's our point. You have Netflix, right?
I do.
Yeah, so Netflix is like the Kleenex of streaming services. Just everyone I know has it. So, oh, God, I can't believe I have to watch this dumb thing.
Hate, watch it. Hate yourself. Bogus says headlines. Meanwhile, keep them coming, guys. We're asking, who's the greatest sports executive of all time? That's our great debate.
These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. It does not matter who's in charge or how many teams make the playoff. The person running the CFP selection committee is either unwilling or incapable of explaining how they reach their decisions. 7-1 Ohio State's number 2 in the initial top 25 revealed last night, while 7-1 Georgia is 3rd. So committee chair Ward Manuel was asked why on ESPN.
They both had great wins, but what we felt is in terms of the losses they had, Ohio State lost to number 1 Oregon by 1, and Georgia lost at Alabama. Who's ranked number 11. And so that was really the difference. I mean, we're splitting hairs in terms of looking at two great teams.
We need a room full of football minds to get to that logic.
Imagine how much these people all make.
I have a question. I'm so sorry to spring this on you guys. When the national title game is a neutral field, right?
Yeah.
What about the final four games? Are those neutral or are those home? Those are still neutral, right?
Final four games are neutral sites. So they're going to be at the Orange Bowl. Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and some of the other bowls.
So the 1-2 distinction and the 2-3 distinction is not overly important. It makes a difference who you play, but you're not necessarily costing yourself a home game at the very end.
There is no home game if you get to that bye.
Got it. I just wanted to see how important this distinction between those two teams it really is.
So Oregon's number 1 on this list, followed by Ohio State, as we just said, and Georgia. The problem for the Buckeyes is they're not in first in the Big Ten because of those Ducks. So they'd have to play in round 1. This time around, they would host 12-seeded Boise State. Oregon, Georgia, Miami, BYU would get those first-round byes. The Cougars actually 9th in this top 25, but are the 4th highest-ranked Power 4 conference leader at the moment. From the NFL, corner Marshawn Lattimore is going to the Commanders. That was the biggest move before yesterday's trade deadline. There was also the Ravens taking a flyer on Rams corner Tre'Davious White, and the Cowboys probably overpaying for Jonathan Mingo to catch passes from Cooper Rush for the next month. We mentioned this, I think, briefly yesterday. If Dak goes on IR now, that guarantees us Cooper Rush on Thanksgiving, right?
Oh, great.
Against the Kraft Giants? or Trey Lance by then, who knows? But that 4 weeks of Dak on IR would take us through Thanksgiving.
Yes, it would.
That's really going to challenge the power of the star on the helmet.
We had one of the most famous Thanksgiving games ever was a Cowboys backup, Clint Longley, 72, against the Washington team.
Remembered fondly.
So who knows? I feel like Cooper Rush, we've probably had him on Thanksgiving before. Has he never played on Thanksgiving at all?
I feel like he has played one important Cowboy game in the past.
I know Dalton played on Thanksgiving.
We just don't need the combination of Cooper Rush and the Giants on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Who are they down to at that point? Right. Those injury guarantees for Daniel Jones are about to get real, real. The one backup quarterback I remember from Thanksgiving is the Lions rolled out a guy named David Blow. And I was like, man, it's spelled B-L-O-U-G-H, but I believe it's pronounced Blow.
No, it's Blau.
Are you
David
sure?
David Blau from Purdue? Yeah.
Yeah. Blau,
everyone
called
him Blau.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I just fell for the joke.
Yeah.
I always thought that guy was pretty good, by the way.
I think my favorite bad Thanksgiving quarterback was always Joey Harrington. Watching him go out there and just go, 12 for 32 with one touchdown and 3 picks was just...
But he was the starter.
I know. I know he was the actual starter. That's why I said bad, not backup.
Oh, yeah.
Those were fun. I mean, that guy was just...
Yeah, Lions fans loved them.
Sorry, Lions fans. I enjoyed it.
You're going to get us in trouble with our Oregon folks.
The NBA handing Joel Embiid a 3-game suspension for his physical altercation with Philadelphia Inquirer columnist Marcus Hayes in the Sixers locker room over the weekend. Nuggets forward Aaron Gordon expected to miss multiple weeks with a calf strain. Shohei Ohtani had surgery yesterday to repair the torn labrum in his shoulder that he suffered on that slot in Game 2 of the World Series. Ohtani expected to be recovered for spring training. Now, the Mets would love to sign Juan Soto away from the Yankees. Would the Yankees respond by signing Pete Alonso away from the Mets? GM Brian Cashman.
There's a lot of high-quality players in this marketplace, and certainly Pete did an amazing job with the Mets. And so had a brief conversation with Scott about a lot of his... He has a lot of free agents, which is normal, and Pete's one of them.
That, of course, is agent Scott Boras. So as you can hear, these are like preliminary talks, but Alonso's name did come up with the Yankees.
Oh, lovely. We're back in Scott Boras season.
And finally, and all I ask, can we just get these deals done before spring training?
You know the answer.
No.
Spring training.
Oh, spring training?
Even that's
You're pushing it. You know these things go to the very, very, very end now.
I was hoping you'd say, like, Valentine's Day. Spring training, that's rough. That's a big problem for Major League Baseball.
Well, but those are basically the same thing. Valentine's Day is usually, like, pitchers and catchers showing up. If we get it done before then, I'm okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, actually, it's a fan experience. What does it really matter?
Well, it's annoying to me, at least,
yeah, me
and I think others, that every other sport, the first day of free agency is like a bonanza, and there's deals galore, and it's like an actual calendar day. Baseball free agency starts, and 6 months later, somebody signs for under market value.
This is also the thing I despise about this, is they go so long sometimes and so deep into the spring training. Now it's like, are they going to be ready for opening day? It's like, come on.
Right.
Like, now it was like the prize signing or something really fun, and we're not even sure if they're going to be ready to go.
Wait, so when did this change? Because it used to be cool, hot stove.
Why?
Thank Billy Bean. You're.
You know, I would think, though, the really late signings are a fairly newish.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Basically, collusion is kind of what's happening a little bit. I think it's when.
Yeah, keeping salaries down.
I think so.
Well, I mean, Harper and Machado still got paid, but those are the guys I remember really taking abnormally long. They were the first ones that I can remember that didn't get done, like, in the winter.
Do you remember Camp Jobless? They had to set up an alternate spring training for guys who hadn't signed yet.
And we had Carl Pavano on, like, a yacht with different teams in, like, December 1 year. And then we get to then fast forward, and we've got guys begging for jobs during spring training.
Yeah.
And I do think it's a problem in Major Baseball, because I think fan engagement... It's important, even in your offseason. I think when you prolong things like that, by the time of Bryce or Manny signs in a one-off, not with a bunch of other action, it, you know, kind of comes and goes, right? When, like, you have, like, that July 1st NBA date or that April whatever date in NFL, like, I do think fans are, like, ready for that date and all these deals happen and there's excitement.
Well, the other part, too, is it's not like Major League Baseball also has the draft. Like, they don't have enough moments on the calendar that aren't games. Like, opening day will belong to baseball sometimes, although the NCAA tournament's right there. Yep. But their other sports have other big days that we get up for, and baseball doesn't have the draft. Now they don't have a big free agency day. They're missing out.
Yeah, they're not as good at the offseason.
No.
The NFL's the king. I mean, there's no doubt. They've turned like, schedule release. I'm going to take today off from school to watch a schedule release show. It's out of control. The NFL, because the NFL season is so short, I think that helps too. I mean, let's face it, baseball season's so long, they don't really have the same thing.
That's true. Bogish, thanks so much. We got a lot to do, including let's dive into a move that the Cowboys made yesterday, because Jerry Jones is the laughingstock, but does he deserve to be? And also, we're taking your submissions for our question, who is the greatest sports executive of all time? Maggie Perloff. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Check in on the Cowboys. So, yesterday, trade deadline.
Yep.
Jerry and the gang hinting that they were going to do something they were very excited about. That ended up being a trade for a wide receiver, Perloff. And that would be...
Are we talking about like DeAndre Hopkins level, Devontae Adams level, maybe Amari Cooper level?
May I present Jonathan Mingo from the Carolina Panthers.
All in.
A fourth round draft pick goes to Carolina for Mingo, who was a second round pick in his second season. So yes, Hopkins, it was a fifth rounder. Cooper, a fifth rounder. Devontae Adams got traded for a third rounder. Jonathan Mingo for a fourth rounder. Did the Cowboys overpay?
It's everyone is saying they overpaid. I will tell you one thing for Cowboys fans, if you're listening. Spotrac, who does an amazing job covering contracts in the NFL, said the reason you have to give up a fourth-round pick is because Mingo is under contract for 4 years as a second-round pick, and you pay for cost certainty in the NFL.
Right, so two of those years are gone.
Well, right.
So
you get two years
of control.
1.5 years are gone.
One and a half years.
Yeah, so the other thing about Jonathan Mingo was not good in Carolina. But he was everybody's draft favorite. Let me just read you some Jonathan Mingo numbers. Again, I'm trying to help Cowboys fans.
Okay.
He's 6'2", 220. Ran a 4.46 at 220. 39.5-inch vertical leap. 10.9 broad jump. So the problem with him is speed has not showed up in the NFL. So I don't know what those numbers mean, but I guarantee they fell in love with him in the pre-draft process. And maybe... maybe this is one that doesn't blow up on them, because I think everyone was grading moves yesterday, and they said the Cowboys overpay for Jonathan Mingo. Fair, but at least there's an argument to be made here. It's not the greatest one, but I'm trying to make Cowboys fans feel okay.
Here we go!
Yeah, I think you're doing a good job, and there is a different calculus when the person is under cost control, right? And so you're going to have to pay a little bit more because their salary is going to be a little bit less. That's the give and take of the NFL. This is the part of the trade that I didn't understand. Yeah, your GM is going to be the same because it's Jerry Jones, but what if you bring in a new coach?
Oh, what's the difference? Yeah, I think,
don't you want to see what that coach, I mean, every coach needs wide receivers, so if you think they can fit in any kind of system with any kind of, I don't know, I think if I'm going to make some big moves at the end of the year, maybe I would wait until I have my new coach in place.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of coach fits for Jonathan Mingo.
Well, clearly not Dave Canales or whatever, so yeah. Frank Reich before him.
Yeah, I mean, Mingo has done nothing in Carolina.
To be fair to him, he may have had one of the worst quarterback picks ever. I don't know if Bryce Young's going to get his career back on track, but it was not good.
You know what? This actually, in a negative way, reminds me a little bit of trading a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance, who is all pre-draft evaluation. We saw he barely got on the field in San Francisco because of injuries, and they gave up a fourth because they probably liked him before the draft.
Yeah.
It's a mistake that it's hard to imagine this pays off. I mean, I like in principle that they added a receiver because they're very, very thin there.
My question is, was the offer that was on the table that much different before you played Atlanta and before you played the 49ers?
Well,
I mean,
that's true.
The Panthers have been out of it basically since week three.
Why'd they get a running back, too? That has been on my mind.
Why did they not?
They could have used a younger running back. I'm sorry, Dalvin Cook is not doing it for me.
Yeah, I mean, Zeke Elliott can't even get to a meeting.
But if you're talking about bad wide receiver trades, I think there's one that isn't getting enough attention.
Go ahead.
And I think EJ can weigh in on this because I know he was a fan of him in college. The Eagles gave up a third-round pick for Jahan Dotson, who barely plays.
That's old news, Perloff.
But
nobody came up today.
No, it came up again. It's not old news because Washington had an extra third-round pick that they could go and sell for Marshawn Lattimore from the Saints, the cornerback. So the terrible idea to trade a third round for Jahan Dotson leads to the trade yesterday. I'm just saying, why is it that Mingo...
Yes, the Commanders had a second, third-round pick because of that trade for Dotson, and then they used it yesterday to get Lattimore. Sorry.
Right, yeah, exactly. So here's what I'm wondering. Like, how can I watch DeAndre Hopkins is basically a third-round pick, and then Jonathan Mingo is a fourth-rounder, and Jahan Dotson is a third-rounder? Like, these things don't fit. Like, they should not be going on the trade market for the same round.
I think the more egregious wide receiver trade for the Cowboys is they gave up multiple first-round picks for Cooper and then trade him for a fifth-rounder, right? If we're going all time?
Yeah, I mean...
I'm bringing up old stuff now, too.
But I just think... Well, no. But I just think this particular... Now the trade deadline is done, it's just a wide variance. Like, Jahan Dotson should not be the same as DeAndre Hopkins and Davante Adams. That's just going to be weird.
So the other part of this Jerry situation with the Cowboys, this is what I think is going to really tick off Cowboy fans. If next year, when fans are clamoring for them to add more wide receivers, and they go, no, but we've got Jonathan Mingo, don't forget. Like, they're going to want the credit. I don't know where this season is going for the Cowboys. I've got an idea, like, down the drain, especially with Dak hurt now. But they're going to want credit next year for this move. Like, hey, we zagged, you know? When everyone thought we were going to not do anything, we did end up getting a guy who we loved in the pre-draft process. He's here, so get off our backs about not adding wide receivers in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean,
that's okay. Not going to make fans.
But it's not like they don't have a lot of draft needs next year. They desperately need defensive help. And if Ashton Gentry's there and they don't take him, then we're going to drive to Dallas after I drive to San Antonio. Like, they need a running back. So anyway, it's not like wide receivers the only need there. If you watch that defense play, Meg?
Yeah. I thought it was going to be a little better.
Well, I mean, listen, add Parsons.
They're very hurt.
Add Parsons, add Bland. We'll see. I would like to see. I want the Eagles to beat the Cowboys, but I'd just like to see the narrative change if the Cowboys somehow won this. Wouldn't that be funny? Because there's been nothing but negative news on that team for a long time now.
There was one person on social media who weighed in who does fantasy football who said Mingo is one of the worst wide receivers in the NFL by any metric.
Nice.
That bad.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.